This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Dr. Benjamin Kaplan. He is the founder and chief medical officer at Seed Clinic and Seed Foundation, as well as founder of Solo Science Inc., which recently got acquired. A medical advisor to the world's leading cannabis investment fund, Green AXS Capital. Dr. Benjamin Kaplan, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you.
Hi, Maria. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I can't tell you how happy I get every time I see doctors speaking about cannabis so openly. So I'm really honored to have you on the show, and I can't wait to dive into everything cannabis related. But before we do, I always love to start my interview with what inspired you to become a doctor, number one, and then to talk about cannabis. So if you can tell me the journey, that would be really awesome.
Of course, they're actually both the same. I was the son of a doctor, and my mother's a nurse, and I come from a medical background. So I have some degree of privilege at seeing how people can be helped. With someone who's just, good in school and works hard and then cares about people. So I was inspired to be a family doctor. I'm a board certified family physician, really because the need is there. You know, we live in a world now where even first world countries are at a dearth of clinicians. We have a vast number of booming people. The public is growing, but the folks who are going into medicine is not growing. So we have a vast shortage. And I was inspired to help. And then in my clinical practice, actually, while I was practicing, I do a crazy thing, which is actually listen to people. These days, doctors are sometimes overworked so much that they forget that there's a person there that they want to get to know and that they want to help. But I was young and naive enough to be open-minded to listen. And I would hear people opening up to me. They would tell me about their cannabis use, that it was helping them with headaches, menstrual cramping, their back pain. Maybe they were getting to sleep a little bit better. And I knew nothing about cannabis. It's not taught in medical school. I grew up with the same baloney that everybody else did, that this was a stepping stone to becoming a drug dealer and an addict, and you were going to murder people later. It was just crazy, and really this is a super vegetable, that it has a lot of the properties that nature has all around us, just in one freak plant. And people, of different walks of life take it and take different medicines out of the plant. This is a microcosm. It has 600 odd components in it. And, as different needs match with the plant, you have healing powers. And it's really helped so many people. But, of course, I didn't know any of that early on. But I listened and I heard what people were telling me. And I said, boy, there's something here. Let me go research it. And I looked into the published literature. And, many people have heard, there's not that much literature about cannabis. We don't know that much yet. It's still a mystery. And that's baloney. That's another sort of example of people who don't want to learn or haven't learned, talking out of a side of their mouth they shouldn't. There's tons of literature, in some searches of cannabis properties, there's more than 10 times the literature that we have about the common cold or about things like Lyme disease. There's a ton of literature out there, but nobody's reading it. So I became enamored. I loved hearing the positives from patients. I loved discovering this sort of treasure trove of research that nobody was paying attention to. And I love causing trouble. I'm a doctor who wants to help people, and I'm not afraid to fight the good fight as long as science is on my side and I'm doing it from my heart. So that's what I'm doing now full time, and it's a privilege.
That's amazing. Now, we did a workshop. I own a CBD brand, and we did a workshop about 9 months ago behind our flagship store in Studio City, California. And we invited a few doctors to speak about CBD and the benefits. And this was just a wellness workshop open to the community. We had about 50 to 70 people each time we did it. And these doctors had to be so careful with the way they were recommending CBD. And they were so scared that the news channel was there recording us while we were doing the workshop, because they're like, oh no, I don't want to be on the news saying certain things that I'm not allowed to, and then get my license taken away. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your thought on that?
I think it's a lot of misplaced fear. CBD is federally legal, all 50 states. Actually, the U.S. government has the patent for CBD as a neuroprotectant from the 80s. You know, cannabis is serious medicine. Its benefits can be life-changing for the people that are suffering from, you know, all manner of maladies. You know, but I think there are some tricky aspects of cannabis. You know, arriving at and maintaining a cannabis care regimen that's most effective is not easy. There's a lot of test and learn or trial and error. And that's hard for physicians to wrap their minds around because they're not seeing as many patients full time. Most physicians out there are doing some specialty or some primary care. They're seeing results trickle in from their patients, but they're not seeing this as a full-time specialty. You know, and that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed as a passion is I'm surrounded by cannabis on all fronts. I have a full-time clinic. I have a formulation development company. So as I'm learning in the clinic what people are finding helpful, I'm actually turning that into a business to support the industry. I now have a data company, which has produced the App Store's first medical cannabis care companion app. And we're building a understanding at a detailed data level that will help, for example, the insurance companies. You know, we all want medicine, cannabis medicine covered by insurance companies. They're going to need data to do that. They have to see that it works as well, if not better than other choices, you know, at a really rigorous scientific level. Most of the industry is not there yet, but I saw that need and, you know, we started the company.
That's amazing. I'm just so happy that you're really truly looking at this in a way that you want to make a difference. You want to help people. And I wish more doctors could do that. And it's interesting because this topic, when we decided to interview people and talk about cannabis on my radio show, a few doctors reached out to me. And I also interviewed a doctor who's a neck and head surgeon at Cedars-Sinai, who just like you said, I want to help people. That's why I became a doctor. And it's amazing. I wish more doctors would do it, but you know, hopefully you guys are setting the example and you're at the forefront of this. And I'm super thrilled. Now, going back to the business side of things, how do you manage to, I guess, be a doctor, keep up with everything and the research and, yeah, just, and then seeing the patients and everything, and then at the same time running several businesses, not just one.
It's a challenge, but I think it starts with passion. It starts with interest and discipline, and also humility. You know, I am a physician. I'm trained as a physician for, you know, over 20 years of my life. I know my lane. And I know that, you know, business is not necessarily my strong suit. It happens to be a passion. I love thinking about how I can make the system work better, self-sufficient, because, you know, we're doing the right thing and because we're making money. So I have the privilege actually of teaming up with people who are smarter than I am in avenues that are not my lane. And if I stick to my own and I slowly learn, you know, I get better at understanding how to integrate with other lanes, but I don't have to bear that burden. You know, I've teamed up with a really brilliant businessman named Lokesh Chug. He actually is the managing partner of the Green Access Capital Fund. And he just, you know, nobody can match what he does. He's so disciplined. He's so knowledgeable, constantly learning about the market and meeting people and building a better network. So if I tag along with him, I'm not only learning from his experience, but I get to, you know, mesh with his network and really help him in areas that he's, you know, not so strong in. You know, so I think sometimes we have to not bear the burden ourselves, you know, find people that are trustworthy. And maybe that's a lot, you know, maybe that's it's easy to say, but you do have to spend time with people to make sure they're not after something else. And then, you know, you do what you do best and make sure that you're being honest and communicating with your partners. You know, a lot of companies I've been with have the privilege of really brilliant support. But I have been, you know, with my share of folks who are disagreeable.
Yeah,
and you have to know how to navigate that too. You know, I remember reading statistics about what destroys companies, and of course, funding is one, but you know, the team is also another. And if you don't have an open, honest, communicative team, it's not going to work.
Great advice. Tell me a little bit about Seed Clinic. How did you get that started? What were some of the initial steps you took to launch?
Sure. So it actually came from tremendous frustration. I started my cannabis career as you know, a head doctor, a chief medical officer of a major medical group that was supervising close to 250,000 patients. You know, and I was a family doc. I didn't have much training in cannabis. And spoiler alert, no, not many people in cannabis as medicine have a lot of training. You know, we're all kind of new to the game. And people bring whatever skill set they have to the table, but nobody has, you know, that many years, decades of experience. So I had an open mind, and I took to the perspective of learning from the people around me. And one of those groups was my patients. And I had, at this point, had 250,000 patients that I could learn from. They were teaching the system what they were doing. But at that time, nobody was paying attention. Nobody was recording data about them. Nobody was learning in a rigorous way. So I helped to set that up. And then long story short, I found out that I couldn't reach other doctors. Like I would try to, you know, bring them together, try to have a journal club, try to talk to them. And most of the doctors out there were after paycheck. They didn't really care about learning or extending themselves in other ways besides working and going home. So I started my own clinic, and that's CED Clinic or Seed Clinic, which is really about evidence-based care. You know, we're learning about the published literature, and we're collecting learning from the living lab of the people that are actually doing this at home. And we're piecing it together. You know, the providers in the company are talking and gathering information and sharing it and puzzling it together, challenging people. You know, there are some people out there who want to play with it, want to see how cannabis can help their shoulder pain. And they're open to trying, say, a lotion. And then one day they want to try something else. And, you know, we're learning from those experiences and then putting that all together. You know, and as part of this adventure, one of the things I did, Maria, I built the world's largest library of cannabis publications. You know, if I'm reading all this literature and other people are searching for this literature, why don't we make it easy for everybody? So what I do is, you know, as I read and download information that's out in the public, I put it onto this Google Drive that everybody who wants to can read and free searching. So it's all, you know, easy.
You don't understand how much time we'll be saving if we can have access to that ourselves, because as a brand owner, of a CBD brand, I try to keep up as much as I can with the latest research. And I'm not a doctor. Sometimes it's really hard to know what publication is accurate, what's not, what information is accurate. It's hard to tell. Even if I go through different medical sites to search, I don't know, was it a paid article or, you know.
And so it's funny you should say that, Maria. One of the things that we do with this huge repository of published scientific jargon, because it is really above the heads of most people, we created a blog, and that blog references the papers that are in the archive, but it translates them so you don't have to go to medical school to understand what's going on. And you know what? If you're bored and you don't want to read a blog, we have tweets, we have Instagram stuff. You know, we have a whole YouTube channel, and we're just translating all of the jargon out. We're speaking normal language so that everybody can understand. We all have to benefit by collaboration.
You should charge for these.
I should, but that is not what I want to do.
I know, but I'm telling you, you do not understand the pain that you are solving by just gathering all the information and giving me that not access to it, but also the mindset, the calm, knowing that it's real information I'm referencing to. Whether I'm talking about something or sharing something with clients, it's always hard. Is my information accurate? How do I double? There's just so much out there. So I would pay for it. You should charge for it.
Thank you. No, I think one day I'm hoping that I'll have enough followers that, you know, maybe those companies, Instagram or Google or whatever, will pay me. But, you know, part of the problem is I don't want to be paid. And I actually refuse a lot of people who are, you know, trying to be guest authors because they have an agenda. And my agenda is to share information, to share what's being published. And it's not about selling things. It's not about making money. It's about doing what I think is right for all of us.
And I think you'll stand out more this way because there are people out there that have different intentions. They just want to get in and make money, and a lot of people. And what I found myself as I started building my brand, which, by the way, sort of happened organically. I own a marketing agency, and I've been very successful doing what I do, helping tech startup companies that are disrupting their industries and getting funded millions of dollars. I help them scale. That's what I do. But it was around the time when my dad passed away, and I've always suffered from hemiplegic migraines, but then my anxiety really started spiking up. It was just migraines, anxiety, a lot of different things I was going through. And it was right around the time when I turned 40 too. So I'm sure it was age related too. And when I learned about CBD and I started using it, and I saw how it helped me with prevented the numbness. Now, it didn't take my migraine away all the way, I'm going to be honest, but it prevented the numbness, which potentially can cause a stroke. That's something that I've been living with for 20 years, and I refuse to take medication, which my doctors prescribed me at the age of 20 and said, you have to be on Elavil for the rest of your life in order to prevent a stroke. And so long story short, when I found that CBD is this magical cure for this, it's preventing me from possibly getting a stroke, I found the inconsistencies in different brands. And then I decided to just go out and make my own so that I could have a consistent CBD potency in every bottle and not have to worry, is this dosage going to help me? Is it not? And I noticed that on your website, there is information about dosage too. And I think a lot of people are just curious. They don't know. A lot of them are also scared. How much do I take? What do I do? Do I take it with THC? Do I take it without? So let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, most people are not going to be like me to start out their brand and control the dosage, right?
Right. I mean, I'm chomping at the bit here because it's exactly what the company that I built is for. You know, too many folks are either trying to figure it out for themselves or trying to get what really is medical guidance from whoever happens to be behind the counter at their local dispensary. I mean, it's really kind of crazy. So good news. There are wonderful clinicians out there and some great technologies that allow patients and clinicians to collaborate much more closely, intelligently, efficiently, but also affordably. You know, like it's one thing to have, you know, we started off saying there aren't that many clinicians out there. It's really hard to get in touch with folks who are knowledgeable. So I of course realized this, and we built a technology which is literally cannabis care at scale. You know, it's an app. It's actually, you know, on the App Store. And what it does, it may be hard to see here, but you can get, these are products at a local dispensary, and they're coordinated for a person who is idiosyncratic. You as an individual are different than your twin sister. You know, you sleep differently, you exercise differently, you have different hydration. There's all kinds of things which make you different than even your twin sister. And then of course, cannabis is not the same. Even a single flower, you know, some people know this, some people don't. And a single flower, the product at the top of the plant is not the same as the middle and the bottom of the plant. And if you think about trying to make consistent commercial items from an inconsistent source, that's a recipe for disaster. So there's a lot of uncertainty in cannabis, and you really do need to leverage technology, which is all around us. We have artificial intelligence, we have machine learning, we can understand lab testing, and we can put that all into a computing system. And as long as we're not having the robots rising, if we have a supervising clinician, we have a human in the loop, we can really manage this and tailor make guidance for individuals.
Remind me what the name of the app is, just so the listeners...
EO Care. So the letters E and O and then Care. And we have a website, EO.care. You know, it's still in early stages. We want this to be, you know, really amazing. It is obviously disruptive technology, but we want it to be, you know, particularly flawless, if I can use that word. And it's going to take time. It's already taken a couple of years for us to develop it. These models are not simple. It's not actually a simple algorithm. It's a very complex model of care that's constantly tuned. I mean, we've tuned at least 60 or 70 versions of this model over 2 years. We're constantly learning from people in the industry who work in the industry, from patients, of course, from other clinicians and myself. It's a work of real complexity. I think, you know, Maria, if you and I were to design a medical specialty in the 21st century, it's not going to be just one human shadowing another human. We're going to have computing technology built in. So I think this really is, in some degrees, a medical specialty, you know, of this century.
Wow, I feel like this is the future. It is the future, and I love that you're actually making it a reality.
Well, now, you know something, Maria, if you go to your doctor today,
right,
and you have a wonderful session, you learn a lot, and he or she recommends some medicines, there's no context that you have between you and the clinician until the next time you see them. Like, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we have the EO technology is really building a communication bridge so that we understand what's happening at home. We can get feedback. You know, when you're taking part of your regimen, you can input, oh, this really worked out well, or this wasn't so great. And we learn that. We're tracking how that's going over time so that we can actually give you recommendations that are changes or improvements. We can work with you on the fly. It doesn't have to be wait 3 months to get a visit.
I love that. And I think that's how medicine should have been from the beginning. But like you said, most people just, they're after their paychecks. They don't want to complicate things. They don't want to do anything extra. But in reality, I feel like that would simplify things, you know, but then that would also heal people faster. So maybe for those who are only after a paycheck wouldn't like this idea because they're actually going to solve problems.
No. I there are a lot of skeptics out there who think doctors are really after paycheck. And I think, you know, to some degree, we're human. And of course, we have to feed our families. But most doctors I've met, you know, besides a couple doctors who play wizards in public, tend to be really after medicine. They're not after the money. Some doctors, of course, are after fame and sort of egomaniac satisfaction. But, you know, the vast majority of doctors are not after money.
No, and I respect doctors. I actually, my cousin is a doctor, so I highly respect doctors. I think their job is very difficult.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.